Hello, my finest of friends. It's me, Richard Herring. Thank you for listening to my podcast. Really appreciate it. We're powered by Acast Plus. Please do tell your friends to listen. There's some really great podcasts. Not all of them are the most famous names, but I think you'll agree if you listen that they're all really good chats. And I'm still on tour with Can I Have My Ball Back? It's been going really well. Thank you to everyone who's come so far. I'm really pleased with the show. It's getting better every time. Right, Bollocks being a lot of fun. I think you're going to like meeting him. This week I will be in Doncaster on Wednesday, Scarborough on Thursday. That one's selling pretty well. Scarborough was the lowest seller of last time I toured stand-up, but nearly sold out. Different venue. And Friday I'm at Stockton Arts Centre. Tickets available for all of those. And then there's a little hiatus and I'm back in London in the Bloomsbury on the 7th of June and the Leicester Square Theatre on the 9th of June. Be terrific if you're in London, if you could come and see one of those shows. They both need a bit of a boost with ticket sales and there may be reviewers in. So if you like these podcasts at all and would like to give me anything in return and you live in London, coming to one of those two gigs, Bloomsbury, 7th of June, Leicester Square Theatre, 9th of June, would be an enormous boost. But go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour to find out all the tour dates. Would love to see you there. And, you know, it doesn't matter how many people are in. It's all about the fun we have. And so far, it's been lots of fun and great to meet you afterwards. Happy to sign your cock if that's what you're after. Anyway, let's sit back, relax, and enjoy another wonderful podcast.
Life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who doesn't know who the next President of the United States is. You do, don't you? But he doesn't. It's Richard Herring! I can't wait. I'm full of beans. I'm full of beans. Look at me. Full of beans. I've been eating beans. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. I was talking to Dave Prowse the other day. He was not dressed as Darth Vader. He was dressed as the Green Cross Code man. He told me to take care on the road because he wouldn't be there the next time I crossed the road. He got a relative of us. I don't know. He's a pretty cool guy. Isn't he, old Dave? Remember the Green Cross Code man? Good, wasn't it? Did it stop? Must have worked because you're here, right? So there's Syria. If you hadn't paid attention to him. He was Darth Vader as well. Do you know that the Green Cross man was Darth Vader? Dave Prowse. You didn't know that. So you learn. So it's not just comedy. Some of it, in some ways, hardly any of it is. We learn something new. So, it's a very exciting time. We've got Jodel Hill is in the house. Hello, Jodel. How are you doing? Yeah, look, someone's actually bringing you champagne. Oh, that's amazing. As we speak, one of our Kickstarter people who may be asking a question in one of them. Either, if you can hang around till next week, maybe we can ask a question. If you mind hanging around till next week, you can ask a question next week. The news is kind of crazy. As we go to press, I mean, it's, the people listening to this are listening maybe at the beginning of 2017, if there is a planet Earth at that point. So we're just about to find out who the next president of the United States is, and the people at home know that it's President Trump. Still think it's going to happen in Carter. I mean, that's funny now, right? We're laughing here in the room. No one at home is laughing. They listen to this on some kind of... you'll have to listen to podcasts just on a tin can with a string that's just connected to mic. And we go, hey, yeah, hello.
Welcome to my guest, the charred remains of Tony Rocks. Brexit, I'm sure Brexit will still be dragging on. I don't think that's going to be solved anytime soon. In fact, I was thinking, you know, we said we would definitely leave the European Union. We voted for that, so we have to do that, right? Because that's democracy. But we didn't say when we would do it, did we? That's the thing. So I just say we should, let's say we do it in 50 years' time. That should make everyone happy. We'll definitely do it. We'll go in 50 years' time. That'll give us time to, you know, make some trade agreements and make sure it's all, rather than just getting out of there. Plus, by that stage, we could just, at the last minute, have another vote just to check everyone. I think in 50 years' time, when all those old fuckers are dead, I think we might stay, but we'll see. I think everyone will be happy with that arrangement. I'm going to put that to the Daily Mail. I'm sure they will call me a freedom fighter. So yes, look, we're going to crack straight on because we've got two fantastic guests. I'm hoping my guest is there. He was in the loo last time I looked. Is he there? Yeah, good. So he's probably best known as Barry Gale from Southampton Football Club new kit promotion video series. It's pretty impressive. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Tom Davis. Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Davis. He's a big man. He's a big law man. How are you doing?
Very well, yeah, yeah. Last time I was here, I died very badly on this stage.
Yeah.
I stopped my career. So literally having heart palpitations out
it's
the back there.
A few people there, yeah. It's a weird little room, but it's a lovely room.
Yes, yeah, it seems nice. Lovely. I've sort of vetted everyone.
Yeah.
As they were coming in, back there.
They're a nice audience. I think we'll go all right. We'll see. You know, it'll be two for two, though, if we die.
Yeah, I mean, I can handle myself. It's just there's a lot of them.
So I watched a bit of this. How did the Southampton new kit series of video? I mean, they're not even they're long videos. They're long promotional videos about Southampton Football Club changing their football kit to stripes. Is that have I got?
Yeah, that's right. It's become my Harry Potter. I thought it was going to be one. It's sort of seven now.
Yeah.
They got in touch about doing it, and I like Adidas. I thought I might get some free clobber. Put with Southampton on. Yeah. And I'm not a fan.
You're not a fan of Southampton?
No, I'm a West Ham fan. Right. So it's sort of weird. It feels like cheating on your wife with another football club, which is almost worse if you're a West Ham fan.
Yeah.
Because, that's a fucking prick. What are you doing going off with Southampton? You know what? It's just money. I get paid to be here. I pay you. They got in touch and we've just done... I'll do one next week, actually. Right. I'm going to Prague.
Right.
So, yeah, now they're in Europe. They're finding me all over Europe doing these things. So
what do they get out of it, though?
You could ask that about any of my career. Is anyone else in the world getting out of it apart from me?
They're funny, though. I mean, they're funny videos.
Oh, no, they're a lot of fun to make, and they're sort of just done on the hoof. And it's one of those weird things. I'm a massive football fan, so it sort of is a strange thing to be sort of spending time with footballers, which in itself is a bit like, you know, you meet your heroes who are comedians, they're usually very sort of funny, or you meet a lot of footballers and you're like, oh wow, there's literally nothing else apart from that you can play football. What would you have done if you couldn't have?
So it feels like you've kind of appeared from nowhere overnight, but you've been going for a fair while, haven't you?
Yeah, sort of plugging away really, sort of. 8 years,
yeah.
I guess. It's that weird thing of, you know, it's sort of a lot of time of sort of building yourself and little baby steps to get to a position where you are, breakout and whatever, and everyone goes,
baby steps, and I've got to the position where I'm talking to someone in a room after 30 years. Yeah, you're right, it does take
time. No, it takes time. I'm not saying, you know, we all go at different paces. I didn't want to do baby steps forever, so I started running. It's that weird thing of you sort of come to people's sort of consciousnesses, I guess, sometimes a bit slower than you might think.
But you've been in a lot of things, I suppose, in the last two or three years.
Yeah.
So it's kind of exploded, really. And Murder and Successful is the kind of most...
Yeah, I mean, that's the sort of the thing that's sort of blown up, really, I guess. Sort of Plebs was a big sort of thing, and stuff I've done with sort of Keith Lemon. I guess it is just that thing, and I suppose that's the thing of not rushing it up. By the time I got to do Murder, I'd worked with Coogan, I've worked with a lot of the sort of big hitters, so I sort of knew how I wanted to go about it. It's sort of an education itself. I mean, I don't come from a background of sort of as an actor or anything like that. I sort of come from a complete left field, really.
So what were you doing for? You were working as a builder in the building?
Scaffolder. Yeah. I'm not a builder, mate. Come on.
Okay. It's very hard to find out about you.
I'm a very private man.
there isn't much in the interview, so I knew you'd been... You talked about worrying about dropping bricks off the Shard.
Yeah, no. I was there for when the Shard was going up.
Right.
As a scaffolder, so I was a trailblazer on the Shard. I wasn't there at the end.
That must be a hard one to scaffold, though. That's a big...
It's a big old number. Yeah. I mean, same one I heard. I mean, I wasn't there in the town planning meetings. You're mad. You're crazy. It'll never... But we were there for the sort of... basing out, as we called it, right, in the scaffolding game.
Scaffolders are kind of quite crazy, though, aren't they? I mean, when you talk to tradesmen, scaffolders are the kind of maverick, dangerous...
Dickheads. Yeah. they're a breed apart, really. They're sort of. I always, weirdly, when people say, oh, did you always want to be a comedian? I always wanted, when I sort of first was sort of 14, 15, I wanted to be a scaffolder.
Right.
I just thought this might just be a change for a week or two. But they sort of rule the roost in the area. So I grew up around sort of Croydon. They're everyone's from there.
Yeah.
So it's that weird thing of sort of. I guess Glasgow, you going to shipbuilding, not shit. And Croydon, it was scaffolding, right. Really, and it was sort of the trade that I fell into a bit. And I sort of went away from it. I worked for the RSPB for a week.
Did you?
Yeah.
The sideways move from
scaffolding. Yeah, no, I wanted a winter out of the cold. So I thought, well, what could I do? And the only thing I could get was opening mail at the RSPB. They had a telephone line that where people used to phone up, and it was the first person. I can't be sure if there's anyone who likes birds in here, the aviation sort. it was like the first blue tick that was going to fly over the White Cliffs of Dover. You got £100 reward. So I said to my mate, look, when that phone call comes in, I'll sort of phone you and you phone up, and we'll pretend we can get that £100. So we did it and we got caught. I was thinking this could be a grift that could go on for years.
Who's giving the prize? This is a bit like the Southampton.
Who's giving
the prize of £100 for the first blue?
It was the RSPB day.
Surely the bird should get the £100 anyway.
I don't know what you'd do with it. Flying back, I don't know what this is fucking for. The first one here, they give me £100.
Go back in a plane.
Yeah. I'd love to sit next to a bird like that. What are you doing here? £100, I was the first one to get it. So I'm back having to make a loaf for a week now.
And so how did you make the step from, what was the break that got you into?
Well, my best friend was working at a TV company, who's now managed successfully directs at James DeFront. And we sort of, he wanted to direct and I wanted to acting thing, so we just started going out and we started making sort of little, really before YouTube kicked off, we started just making little videos and giving them to some people like Shane Allen and different producers, and we slowly sort of started sort of getting better at them, that was then sort of Lee Francis, who Keith Lemon, both selector at the time, saw it and started putting me in things, really. And to be honest with you, up until Murder and Successful, I was still going away, I was still doing building, still working a bit on market stalls.
Right.
And I just always thought this would be a pipe dream. And one day someone would come in and go, oh, all right, mate, we've done our bit, off your fuck. I'm still here. It was sort of just taking it as it came, really.
Yeah.
It's a lovely thing to be here.
Murder and Successful is like, it's such a high concept, and it's sort of a difficult thing to explain if people haven't seen it.
Yeah.
But it sort of feel like it shouldn't work, but it kind of really does work. You know what I mean? It's sort of such a crazy idea. Because it's basically an improvised show around a detective, which is you, and then you get a celebrity, and usually kind of a sort of.
Yeah.
Someone from TOWIE or reality TV or of some kind.
Yeah.
To improvise with.
The guy actually. Came up with it with me. He's in the room.
Right.
I won't embarrass him and get him up here. It was a crazy thing. We had to shoot some of it really to explain what it was and how it would work.
Yeah.
It was that weird thing. We just really liked it. And we thought, this is, if nothing else, we've really enjoyed making a first series. And I mean, as you've sort of made me aware, that some of the reviews weren't too flattering.
Well, there's a you know, when you Google, you, as you say, you said backstage, the first review was a Daily Telegraph one-star review, saying murdering everyone will call it murdering Flopsville.
Yeah.
And again, then I can't be the first one to think of that. And you kind of go, that's sort of an odd thing. I mean, it's a very badly written review that makes me want to watch it if I hadn't watched it. But the show's really funny. You're the main character of this D.I. Sleet, who's a conglomeration of all TV detectives you've ever seen. Did you spend a lot of time I think you watched Diagnosis Murder. I spent, I was just obsessed with watching Diagnosis.
You stand up, you become obsessed, don't you, with that sort of daytime stuff. And we struggled with the voice and then just came up with Jason Statham. So that's sort of gruff, whatever you do, you do. And he just does this. There's a film with Jason Statham, I can't remember what it's called, where he actually sort of, it's like someone's gone to him and gone, do you do any other voices? Yeah, I can do anything you want. You an American accent? Yeah. Okay. Rocks out. And literally, the first three scenes, he's like, hey, how is everything? And then literally just gives up on it. I mean, then becomes, he's just like, so he's coming going, yeah, I don't want to do that anymore. Go back to the normal one. Just go, all right, whatever. Yeah. It says all you need to know about any of these films if you haven't seen them.
But I think it's surprising. It's a nice show because you're not taking the piss out of the people coming in. So it would be easy to have them on and mock them, but they're part of it, and your character is nice to them as nice as he can be.
Yeah, I mean, the joke was always, I was sort of, when I started out, there was a lot of hidden camera things, and you'd have members of the public and you'd be pranking them, and I never really, that never really sat well with me. As a stand-up, I always thought it was more fun to, you know, I'm the one who's chosen to be the guy who's going to be laughed at, so why should I project that onto someone else who's not volunteered for that? So it was, for me, it was, we always wanted to also show a different side to the people that we had on, really.
Yeah.
That we're not, sort of, as you say, there's people on there from reality sort of background, which I sometimes struggle with, because my sort of career as a comedian was sort of starting really when that took over. So it was a weird thing for us. We were like, just strip all that back, that your clothesline, and you're just back to being that person. So when they come in, it's just they're just playing a cop. And you know, for me, that's the fun thing. And it's like the good thing is just throwing people in a position and making them awkward without making them feel stupid.
Yeah.
Or fucking over.
That's what I try to do.
Thank you. This is where I get hit by a big custard pie.
But I think that's the one with Deborah Meaden from Dragon's Den, and she's amazing. She really engaged in it and really got into it.
She was
the
great
one with Vicky Patterson. It looks like she believes it's true.
Yeah, I mean,
there's bits where she's going,
there was Deborah was incredible. She got so angry that she didn't get it right.
Right.
That's a spoiler. But it's 2 years old. If you haven't seen it, you're never going to watch it, are you? But she was taking it. But my favourite was Mark Wright, because when we had Mark on, Andy turned around to him and said, "You ready for this? You okay? You feel good?" And he went, "I don't know which Mark you want." And we said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Do you want Mark from TOWIE, or Mark from like the TV, or Mark from the radio, or just Mark?" A bigger question than we can answer, really, isn't it? Sort of go up with what you've got, son. I mean, he was brilliant, though. He was. It's weird. I mean, it's like I say, it's the sort of world that we work in, as we were saying at the back there.
Yeah.
You've got to sort of completely love that and take it on board and have some fun with it, which we've tried to do.
Well, it looks like you're kind of, you know, sometimes you're corpsing during the show, so you're having
fun. I can't believe my luck that I'm there. Like a kid who's won something.
But it makes it seem, you know, it makes it look real, which I'm sure it, you know.
We only do like one or two takes, which is sort of, which then makes it really weird when you go and shoot something that's properly made. So I'm just doing Paddington, the film at the moment, and or Paddington 2. I don't know if I'm going to say what I'm doing in it, but yeah.
You're Paddington.
Yeah, I am Paddington in the new one. He's grown up. He's not taking any shit. Just drinking. On a marmalade sandwich. Fuck off. Get marmalade, you cunt. Get out of here with marmalade. It's every broken Paddington. It's serving up. We after, mate. No, but you realise that the sort of that feels like going to big school, because it is that weird thing of like multiple takes, and yeah, sort of. It, I mean, that's where it gets quite surreal, really. That and
yeah.
I sort of did a film that's out in a while called Free Fire, and yeah, I was just can't believe my luck, really, with things. I don't even this. I was a big fan of yours. This is all nice. Nice to come back here and hear laughter. After I was here. It wasn't even a bad death. There was generally someone in the front row willing me to do well. Come on. I wasn't even related to them.
That's the way when you come off stage, it just goes, well, I thought you were good, mate. Yeah, I liked you.
Yeah, I really found you funny. Well, you had a fucking laugh. I didn't want to stand out.
So, while we're still on the murder and successful, it must have been great that you were doing the scene with Paul Whitehouse, which you looked like having a lot of fun with.
I mean,
but he was really trying to go and get you to laugh.
He did. I mean, that was because he comes from sort of quite a similar background. He was a pastor, and it was amazing. Really, he's such a hero. And like I say, it's sort of Carrie Ad Lloyd who has done everything since we started, came up with the idea, and it's a treat to make of a show. I always think as wanky as it sounds, you want everyone to sort of think, I'm making a TV show and it should be fun. It shouldn't be like, oh, fucking hell, I hate doing this. Because as much as it is a dream job, it can sometimes be a little bit like that. So you want everyone to have fun. You want everyone to enjoy themselves.
But I think that is nice. And I think there was a generation of comedians who didn't feel like, I think you're right. There was like a time when TV comedy went quite nasty and unpleasant, and it was about trying to make other people look stupid. And I think this is a really original idea, and it's really funny. And
it's
if you haven't watched it, it's on YouTube. I was watching on YouTube.
Oh, watch it on BBC. is it
up there? Is it on? I'll ask you. Let's go for an emerged question. I think you'll like this one. If you had to do a human centipede with two other people. I don't think I need to explain what a human centipede is to you. I had to explain to Dawn French what it was. And you're in the middle.
Yeah.
Which two people, who do you want ahead of you and who do you want behind you?
Wow. Whose shit would you want to eat?
Yeah, well, exactly.
Yeah.
Whose shit would you want to eat?
Because you're glued there, right?
Well, I mean, I think you would die fairly quickly. Yeah. Unless you had someone who shitted nutrients.
Oh, actually, Romesh.
Romesh, you would like Romesh?
Oh, yeah, because he's got a healthy diet.
There's a...
Yeah. And he's been giving me shit for years as it is. So I might as well stick him up there. And who would I like to shit in the mouth of? I'll just say Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I just think that would be almost like the worst thing. If he does, I'm hoping he doesn't get in. It would be great if that was it. You're literally off now. We're going to put you on a plane with this bird. And we're going to fly you to England and you've got to fucking suck up all Tom Davis's shit. Yeah. Obviously, he's going to first say, who's Tom Davis? You've got to watch Murder and Successful on the way. Yeah.
But if he does become president now, he'll track you down and kill you.
He's got a long list. With everyone else anyway.
There's a long way to go. Okay, that's good. I'll try some of my new emergency questions.
Well,
how about this one? I don't know what this one is. Would you rather have I don't even know what's going to happen in this one. I can't remember writing half of these. I was out of my mind when I wrote them. Would you rather have a mirror in which you can see all your dead relatives and friends?
Jesus Christ.
But not be able to talk to them, but see them sadly waving at you.
Christ the what?
Or would you like a voucher for 2-for-1 pizza at Pizza Express Monday through Thursday?
Oh, pizza. Pizza Express all day. What,
you can see
floor.
Your relatives.
Thought you'd ever fucking go to that mirror. You ever look in it? Yeah.
And
even worse if one of them's smiling. One of them looks really hot.
Okay, we'll move on to another one. Would you rather have pubic hair made of unremovable barbed wire or be attacked by a rabid badger in your sleep once a week?
See, the barbed wire is going to be tricky. That's going to be a horrible thing. But if the rabbit doesn't attack you on a Monday or Tuesday, you're then waiting for the rest of the week for it to happen. And if he varies up, if he comes every Thursday, I know it's coming.
Yeah.
I'll get the wife out of the house and say, we know who's coming around tonight, that fucking rabbit. But so I can prepare myself mentally for that. I'm going to take an idea.
It's a badger, not a rabbit. I just want to make that very clear.
What is it?
It's a rabid badger. So it's a badger with rabies.
With rabies.
So that might change your answer. It's not scheduled. It could be at any time in the week. obviously, otherwise you'd just go out, wouldn't you? You'd see someone.
This is one of my favourite things. I got threatened when I was younger by a guy who told me that. He literally said, I'm going to be fucking around to your flat.
Right.
I'm going to fucking give you a kick in. I'll see you Sunday. I said, what time? He's about, 3 o'clock. Cool. All right. See you then. Good luck with that, mate. I'll go with the. I'm going to go with the barbed wire.
Okay. That's not, you could get your winky caught on it.
Yeah, I've got a small dick anyway.
Okay.
I'll get into it at the best of times.
Yeah. Also, the question is, does the barbed wire pubic hair keep growing? It's unremovable.
Jeez.
Does it just get longer and longer until you just have this barbed wire kind of
get bolt
rattling against?
It.
Yeah.
The bolt cutters. What do you cut?
I don't think you could cut it. It was unremovable. It says so.
Oh yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I wasn't really listening.
Yeah. It's very. It's all there.
It is. My attention span's not great, Ray Rich. That's what we do everything in one take.
Have you ever met a shepherd?
No. I'd like to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never met one. What are they like?
I haven't met one either.
Is there a shepherd in here?
Probably. I think it's unlikely, but you know.
If I was in here, and I would pretend to be a shepherd.
Yeah. But they can't come out and they have to care for their flocks at night. That's their main job, isn't it? Making sure the sheep are at night time.
And rabbit
while
babies.
Shepherds tend their flocks at night. What is it? All seated on the ground. Like, watch their flocks.
Was it Red Sky at night, Shepherd's Delight?
Yeah.
Red Sky in the morning, Shepherd's Morning.
Yeah.
Or is it Nature Shepherd's Nature Sky? What is that? Anyone know? Who gives a fuck? There's none of them here.
They're delighted a lot of the time, that's all.
Are they happy people?
When there's a red sky.
Yeah.
At night.
You think they would just look out for the red sky and go,
yes.
Ah, we win again. What does it even mean that there's going to be bad weather or good weather?
Good weather in the morning, that's what the weather expert over there says. Thank you for your input.
Are you an actual weather girl?
You grew up in the countryside. Well, I grew up in the fucking countryside. That doesn't mean I can predict the weather from the colour of the sky. It's not something we... Wait, what part of the countryside did you grow up in?
Brixham.
Brixham?
I thought you said Brixton. Brixton. That's what it's for.
There's a park.
Location. That's what it's done to us.
I grew up in the park in Brixton. Brixham, sounds nice.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at byheart.com.
Have you ever met Brian Blessed? Have you worked with him?
I have.
Yeah, good. I want to ask everyone this question.
Yeah, no.
And I bet you've got some stories about having met him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd like to hear all of them for the rest of the podcast.
We went to, me and a guy called Dan Schreiber, went to pitch a show with Brian Blessed. So we were going to travel the world looking into sort of different, you know, historical and sort of things like the Yeti. So this is where Brian came in. And Brian is a Yeti expert and basically sort of told us that if we saw a Yeti, it's something about running and they then throw their tits over their shoulders. Have you heard this?
I haven't heard this about it. Yes,
but you have to be very careful.
Because it's not true. You know,
yeah. Because there's no such thing as a fucking Yeti. But then it's, I'll be very careful. Honestly, the female Yeti's very horny.
Yeah.
And as he's telling us this, he was in a sort of like kilt thing. And he went through this whole story about Yetis trying to fuck you. And, you know, be careful to run as fast as you can. And we're like, Jesus, quite, you know, number one, I know I'm not in great shape, but I'm like, I think I could outrun a Yeti. And at the end, he looked at us and he said, I'm not wearing any pants. Oh, Jesus. But it was that look like sort of one of us might go, oh, really? Oh, Professor. Yeah, and then there was a gig, weirdly, and he was meant to be there to headline a gig, and he didn't turn up.
Right.
So they got, I think it was Richard Sandlin, to pretend that he was him.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
and it was, yeah, was it Richard or someone? Yeah, someone who did an impersonation. And for about 25 seconds, he got away with it, and then someone in the crowd realised it was a Brian Blessed, because he was wearing pants.
He's a great man. I wish I'd asked every guest I've ever had about
Brian Blessed. Yeah, I think you should.
Because I think they would all have us. I have to get everyone back so I can ask them about Brian Blessed. I know Tony Robinson's got some questions, some things to say about him. I can promise you that. What is your most appealing habit? People are often asked their most unappealing habit. Your most appealing one? Something you do that's very nice.
I'm always very complimentary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always try to be nice to people.
Is that a habit?
I always buy the first round.
Oh, that's good. That is a nice habit. Yeah.
I always try to. I always think I've got in there first. Cause
what if someone else is? Because I always try to buy the first round. So if we're there together.
Well, then we'll have a fucking problem. Then you'll see my worst habit.
Good. I'll ask you this one, and then we'll go back to asking you about your wonderful life. If you had to have sex with either Zippy, Bungle, George, Jeffrey, or Rod from Rainbow, whilst Jane and Freddie had sex with each other next to you, but because they're married, that's allowed, but can't join in, which of the Rainbow, the people from Rainbow, it might be a bit before your time, Rainbow.
No, I remember it well.
Okay.
Just thinking. Well, Zippy, if you weren't very good, you could sort of shut him up.
Yeah. I mean, but George, if you shut him up, what are you having sex with
well,
Zippy?
Well, it's me and a couple of footballers.
What where are you getting into Zippy if his mouth's shut is my question.
I think it's fair to say if you've had sex with a puppet, it's embarrassing. George,
well, I have had sex with a puppet, so against my will.
George was the hippo, wasn't he?
George was the hippo, pink hippo, yeah.
Yeah.
Bungle was the original...
Bungle used to annoy me even as a kid. He was a bit like Chandler from Friends, wasn't he?
Have you ever seen the footage of the pilot of Rainbow? Because there's a terrifying... You've got to look at it on YouTube. There's a terrifying Bungle, more terrifying. It's sort of got like weird eyes. And yeah, it's terrifying.
I'd go with George.
Rod was married to Jane first, and then they split up, and then Jane got married to Freddie. But they still tour together as Rod, Jane and Freddie.
That must have been awkward.
You think so, but they seem quite cool about it.
Yeah, that's been really strange. Especially if they had hotel rooms near each other.
Jane was lovely as well, wasn't she?
Good-looking woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, George is still my favourite.
Jane wasn't on the table. Like you say, you've got lots of stuff coming up as well. I mean, there's an incredible amount of things going on anyway. So you're doing the new... I read on Chortle, where you were telling backstage they never spell your name correctly.
I don't even get it remote. I mean, it started with spelling it wrong.
Yeah.
And now they're sort of crediting it as something completely different.
Right.
I don't know if he's got a problem with me, if I somehow, hurt him in some way. Yeah, I did an amazing thing with a woman called Alice Lowe.
Yeah, yeah.
A thing called Prevenge. So it's a really sort of micro-budget thing that she's put together, and she wrote, directed, and she's a lead in it. And she was 7 months pregnant when she did it, and... it's an incredible piece of work. It generally is like one of the most inspiring things I've ever been a part of. And it's very nice. So I'm sort of picking up quite nice reviews because it's something different from what I've done. It's a bit more dramatic. Actually, ironically, a bit of a rapist. so that's why I got to chat to a lot of footballers. His first review of me was that I'd done really well at a gig, as a stand-up gig, because everyone in the room was on my side.
Right.
I was like, that's a really weird thing. You like go up to every one of them and go, do you know Tom? And then he said, and Tom Lucy was absolutely brilliant in this film. And I was like, the fuck are you literally, are you going out? I mean, I'm pretty much, Tom Lucy isn't like anything like me. So, yeah, it is a bugbear of mine. So I'm giving you a nice bit of praise, but then getting your name wrong.
Well, I look forward to his review of this podcast and see what he calls you in that. Yeah, Alice Loseman. So that's about a pregnant woman. Because Alice, I read about it, but I haven't seen this film yet. But Alice was making a point to think about pregnant women being invisible in the film industry as well as the world.
I think that she wanted to. It was like she's not going to get any other acting work during it, so why not go out and sort of get some funding for a film and go forward? So people were sort of doing it for the love of. I mean, Alice, I don't know if you know her, she's a really incredible.
She did stuff with all the Garth Marenghi guys won the Perrier Award. I think it was called that then.
Yeah, and just a lovely, lovely woman. But just like you, I've never ever been on a set where less people were complaining because it's sort of 7 months and she's doing her own stunts.
Right.
She does if go and watch it, it's a really brilliant piece of work. And it's kind of a bit like sort of tongue in cheek with all these sort of films that you have with every actor in sort of Hollywood seems to be doing like a Taken sort of film where. You know, his daughter gets taken, or his dog gets taken, or whatever, and he goes on a revenge mission. So it was kind of sort of, I was sort of like two fingers up to that, which was, it's a hell of a piece of work.
And you in the new Joe Brand film as well, is that started filming, or is that?
I think we start filming that end of this month with Sheridan Smith.
Very busy.
Yeah. I mean,
are you doing more Murder is Successful?
I hope so, yeah. I think we're sort of 90% there. It's just sort of. Working out how to have on the show. We sort of want to sort of pitch it and sort of get bigger names and we've got people interested. So it's a sort of slow burner. But lots happening. You know, we're sort of, me and the guys that I work with are sort of very much a sort of work with a sort of little team. I've just had a sort of quite amazing thing, this BAFTA breakthrough thing.
Oh yes, that's
right. Which has sort of meant that I can pick a like a mentor and work with people throughout our industry,
right?
Which is why I'm here to ask you.
You can mentor me. I think I'm going to follow you around and try and pick up. we could do a remake of Carry On Screaming, and I'd be Oddbod Junior, and you can be Oddbod.
Well, we could be Sid and Bernard Breslau.
Okay.
So that's an incredible thing because it sort of that seems to have. Or seems to be opening up more doors with one thing and another, and I think they were a bit shocked. They were like, "Who do you want to work with?" I said, "Oh, Will Ferrell and Seth MacFarlane." And they were like, "Oh, right, okay, we'll see what we can do." but I want to keep pushing that and see what happens. But it's just a matter of, I sort of try and bring a sort of building site esque, without the swearing and wolf whistling, into TV. I just think try and work as hard as you can at it and.
Now, according to IMDb, one of the trivia facts on there is that you used to work as a drag queen.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Oh, yes. In Manchester.
Really?
Yeah, I fell in love at a festival. Anyone? We all been to a festival, I'm assuming. You're twitching around there, sir. You're at one now. I went to a festival, fell in love with this girl, and then quickly realised that it was probably... a chemical reaction and actually moving to Manchester on a whim wasn't going to work out I was doing a bit of stand up and then sort of fell into someone said, well, have you ever tried drag? So I used to do drag in my voice but in women's clothes and pick up a lot more work than I did as a stand up. I think more than drag it was a freak show if I'm honest.
You had the beard and
the beard and the same sort of material, but I used to sing like songs from Disney. I've seen something from Little Mermaid.
Oh, I'd love to see that. Are you going to do that again?
Yeah.
I mean not right now.
No. I've got the purple wig or the fishtail. So that became. I don't know if I'd do it again. I don't know. Might be fun to revisit it. I love a Disney song. Hairspray was my favourite thing ever.
Yeah.
It's not Disney, but I find that Tracy Turnblad was literally my inspiration in life. Right. Didn't listen to the critics, just went for it. I'm going to sing and I'm going to dance and no one's going to stop me. Go on, Trace.
And are you still doing stand-up? Have you given up doing stand-up, or do you want to come back to stand-up?
I'd love to, really. It's a really weird thing. When I started out, that was all I wanted to do, really. And sort of was making the sketches and doing that stuff. But I really enjoyed stand-up and sort of fell out of it, weirdly. You start earning money through acting and everything, and then I went back to it and died so badly. Because it's like a muscle, isn't it?
It's like
if you're a boxer, well, Tyson Fury case in point, rocking up to a fight and you haven't trained. I just died. You realise that it's a thing that you have to practice constantly. But there's a massive part of me that wants to sort of do it again and get out and have some fun.
It's just when you become, you're friends with Jack Wild, saying the same thing to, when you become that successful, you're getting all those acting jobs. It's very hard to go, I'm going to go and do 10 minutes for 20 quid down. It takes up a lot of time. It's a difficult thing to get back into, I think.
It is, but then there's that weird thing that the more you do, the more you realise that that's the one thing that you could always do that doesn't have people sort of giving their input. Or if you have an idea or character or something, you can just go out and do it that night. And if it dies, it dies on your terms. And there's something, whenever I watch stand-up on television, or if I come out and watch someone, there's a real angst and a real... I don't get that if I watch a sort of good comedy or a good film. But if I watch stand-up, I sit there thinking, oh, fucking hell. I don't know if I ever fulfilled what I wanted to fulfil out of it. So I find that sort of a weird thing. I'd like to think that I'd have some time where you can really get stuck in, you know. And then also it's that weird thing that... I think it weirdly as an actor and doing characters... If someone doesn't like your character or someone doesn't like your whatever you're doing in a film, or you can always go, it's because the character's a dickhead. But if you're doing stand-up and someone turns around and goes, oh, fucking hell, I didn't like you, you're like, that's me. It's actually me.
But not everyone's going, the thing is, you get this stupid review in The Telegraph, which proves to be... Well, it's someone's opinion, but it proves to not be most people's opinion of the show.
No.
But it's like on show one. It is just someone's opinion. And so I think a lot of comedians, I find it interesting, and I understand it because I'm a comedian as well, you start off wanting everyone to like you, but then I think you've just got to realise that's never going to happen. If you're not going to be a good comedian if everyone likes you.
So a lot
of the reason people don't like comedians is because you've rubbed them up the wrong way for some... pertinent and good reason, I think. So they've seen something in you. To actually get the reaction of dislike is quite strong, like the worst thing is someone go, you're right.
Michael Smiley, who's been a bit of a mentor, I guess. He's an actor now and he's a brilliant, brilliant stand-up. I remember him saying really early on in my career that you have to incite one of those two feelings. Because the last thing you want is at the end of the night... someone going, hey, what about Tom Davis? You go, oh, which one was he?
He was
the guy who did sort of the joke about da da da, and he was all right. I don't take any of it too seriously, really. I think I enjoy it. It's a remarkable job to do.
Things get you at a different, I've got quite a good resistance to it now. But every now and again, I'll see a tweet or. Google myself and find something that I shouldn't really have ever found out that someone was saying, and it'll suddenly make you furiously angry because it's very hard to be criticised but then you realise, they might be that guy from the Telegraph to me looks like he's probably a bit of a dick.
He's probably,
would you want that guy to be to like?
Yeah,
the show?
But there's also that weird thing of, I don't know if you've ever had where you get threatened or you get when you get sort of really aggressive tweets that get sent. I had one guy that. Sort of was like, I want to cut you up into tiny pieces and throw you in a canal. And I was thinking, how much time have you got?
Was it?
I'm a big chap. I think, no, you're not. And like.
Was
like,
it CJ from Egghead who did that?
Could have been, actually. But I was like, I sort of tweeted back, like, why? And then you break it down, and before you know it, he's been actually quite pleasant.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I like to try. People criticise me on Twitter for engaging more with people who don't like me than people who do like me. But I'm quite fascinated. But I think it's fascinating. I'm fascinated by what makes someone. I mean, I'm quite fascinated by what makes a reviewer want to, put his opinion out there as if it's like bang, But at least that's a job. But if someone's finding you and tweeting, you go, oh, no, I just don't think you're that good, mate. You go. Fine.
Yeah.
Right. It doesn't really matter.
I was thinking, would you walk up to someone in the pub and say it? Like, you've got to have real sort of brass balls to walk up somewhere and go, "Oi, mate, I thought you were fucking shit. I want to cut you off and put you in a fucking jail." Right. It's, then you just call the police. But I find it such a... I always openly try not to criticise stuff.
Yeah.
It pains me a bit when I see other people from sort of our industry really slagging something off because they haven't liked it. And everyone's got their opinion.
Yeah.
But I always think we all work so hard, and it's none of this comes easy, whatever we're doing. So to sort of sit there and slag something off is and I really, you know, I sort of try and stick to that as much. So, I mean, I got blocked from Ian Wright because I said something horrible about Agent Charles, which I sort of thought, that's a really weird thing, you know, because I'm not the only one. But I sort of learned my lesson.
Yeah.
It's been progression from there. So I really like Ian Wright. I think he's amazing. I don't want to walk up and go, I'm a lot more fun than Adrian Charles. It's a weird thing.
It's difficult though. I mean, you have opinion. You have opinions. And part of our job is to express opinions.
Yeah.
And then the difficulty is if you know we've up to an extent you've got to take the piss out of other people a little bit with being comedian.
Yeah.
And so you know you're gonna upset people. And even if you don't, someone will get upset with.
Yeah, I mean,
any joke you do, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an interesting. So, like, we've had it with Murder and Successful, where we've inadvertently upset. You know, me and Chris Kamara sort of got dressed as women, and we got some sort of flack for that for some reason. Weirdly, you'll get tiny weird little things where people. We made a joke about diabetes where it wasn't even horrible about diabetes.
Yeah, don't do diabetes jokes. They don't like it.
No, generally, there was a lot of you know.
They so, like you to be very accurate about what diabetes is.
That's the wrong sort of diabetes.
Which is fair enough.
Fair enough. Yeah.
It's fair enough.
My brother-in-law has it. It's cool. Trying to literally sort of...
That's no good. I know someone who's got diabetes, I'm allowed to take
that. My cousin's friend has it. It's terrible. Yeah. I would never want to offend him. Which types have you got? I don't know. Well, he gets a dry mouth all the time.
Hold on, I'm looking for a new emergency question. They're all rubbish. Oh, I'll ask you this. Does sex with a robot count as cheating if the robot is an exact copy of your partner in looks and personality?
No, I don't think so. No, I mean, have you brought it together?
Well, you would have to make it. I haven't done it myself.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
If I'm making a robot, it's not looking anything like my wife.
Exactly. Well, it's a compliment, is what I say.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a compliment if I walk in with a bunch of old sort of barrels and go, who does this look like? We won't be needing you for a week.
It's to use while they're away. You know, it's a romantic gesture. So while you're away, I've got this exact copy of you. And I will be making love with and thinking of you.
Having sex with other cardboard boxes.
But what if the robot is an exact copy of your partner when you first met them? See, it suddenly turns, doesn't it? Suddenly, why? What's wrong with that? Oh, that's bad all of a sudden. It was romantic, wasn't it? Well, and now it's unromantic.
I'm quite lucky my wife is. She hasn't really changed in the sort of 5 years we've been together. She's still as beautiful. So.
Mine's changed. So she's even more beautiful now.
Wow, I should have said that one.
What? Oh, no, that's not right. That's not any good. I'm not asking that. How about this? If I'm born a bigot, does anyone have a right to tell me my lifestyle choice is wrong and I should change and be like them? That's how I'm born.
Yeah, but I think we all group around and try as hard as we could.
Yeah.
And just try and, I mean.
Well, then isn't that bigoted to change me as a bigot? Because that's who I am.
I'm going to actually sort of play dumb here and pretend I don't know what bigot means.
Good. It's for the best. Oh, this is a good one. You'll love this one. Would you rather live in the waxy ear of a grumpy giant, eating only what flies in there by accident, and not being able to make a noise for fear of being ejected with a huge cotton bud? Or live in Middlesbrough.
The weird thing is I am an inch away from being a giant with very waxy ears. If I was an inch taller, I'd actually be a giant. I'd be a giant if I was an inch taller.
Wow.
And you know what? I actually quite like Middlesbrough.
Do you?
Yeah, I'd prefer the giant's ear, obviously. Yeah.
It's the cotton bud that makes the difference, isn't it?
Yeah.
If there was a cotton bud in Middlesbrough,
yeah,
knocking you about. But there isn't. That's the one. That's the one thing that Middlesbrough's got going for it. I love Middlesbrough. My family are from Middlesbrough. I'm allowed to do it. Do you think the Tim Allen film, The Santa Claus, could ever happen in real life?
Oh, man. Do you know what? I'd dream that that would be me.
Did you?
That'd be incredible. I'd love that to be
me. Do you think that's incredible, to be press-ganged into being Father Christmas?
But what a job. I've really enjoyed it. And he's got all those little guys running around for him doing most of the stuff. Well, is it kids in that one, isn't it?
Tim Allen's got a family and then he's taken away from his family.
Isn't it kids work walking like?
No, they're elves. I think they're elves.
Elves and kids.
I don't think it's that. Not the version I've seen.
Slave labour. I think one when he goes to China, working in for Nike. I think that would be incredible, right? If that was you, wouldn't you want to be Santa Claus?
No, not give up my whole life to go and do that. Because
you'd take your wife and kid with you, I'd have thought.
Even so, it's a big move, isn't it, to the North Pole?
Oh, I think they'd probably let you do this still. You won't come and do your thing.
I'd have a big beard. I'd be,
You've got a beard. I love the fact that the reason that you won't do it is your beard might be a bit bigger.
Be awful.
What the pay is being Santa Claus?
You can probably nick some stuff on the way around, can't you?
Yeah. Have a little TV up.
If you just take a quid from every house you visit.
When I was younger and growing up, I always thought, is he paid a little bit from every country? Like they all sort of put in, and obviously the poorer countries not as much. That's why their kids don't get as nice of presents. I would think that if I was running for like prime minister, I'd try and think, how many idiots have we got that I could go? The first thing I'm going to do is make sure we pay Santa a little bit more money, so the presents will be better, and kids will just be on it, and a lot of parents will just vote because they want to make their kids happy.
Yeah.
And who would write you that you could never say? Why wouldn't you vote for Santa Daddy? And you couldn't say, because he's not real. And this guy's standing on the worst possible basis. Yeah, there we go. There's an idea.
Give it a go.
Yeah. In all fairness, there's worse things that Trump's saying.
There is. There's definitely worse things that Trump's saying. Have you ever seen a ghost?
I think when I was a kid, there was sort of a weird thing at the end of my bed once.
Was there?
Yeah, it was in it. Could have been my dad. Some living from the pub. No, it was like a sort of creepy sort of old man who said, I'll be back soon, and never came back. So it was either a paedophile who broke into my house, taking one look at me and thought, gone out the window, and his mate's gone, anything? Believe that one. That guy at number 76, he's not for us. Or it was a ghost.
Yeah. Could be. I can't imagine you ever being a child. I find it very hard to picture you as a child.
No, it
all I do is picture you at about 6 foot tall.
I was always like that. There was a teacher at my school who used to sort of take boys to the football, and there was sort of always rumours, but he never took me.
Right.
And obviously that's the first moment of rejection that I sort of got used to. The worst type as well. With paedophiles just going down up.
Dividing the audience here tonight. We might be getting back to the death. I like it. Have you ever been in a canoe?
Yes. Yeah.
How was it?
It was all right. Yeah. I mean, it was quite an enjoyable sort of trip.
Yeah.
You constantly worry about capsizing, do you?
Yeah, you do. Well, you get taught how to capsize.
Yeah.
Were you taught how to capsize?
Well, we did it at a swimming pool, and the worst thing was that I was more worried about hitting my head.
Yeah.
On the bottom, and I could actually just touch the bottom and put myself back around. So, I mean, I'm not really into all that sort of outdoorsy shit. Should we go back to paedophiles?
Yeah. I'm sure we can get there from a canoe. I'm sure we can find someone. Have you ever eaten sushi?
I've become quite a big fan of sushi
nice,
recently.
Isn't it?
Yeah. When we do pledge, we do it in Bulgaria.
Yeah.
So we eat, that's one of the only things, because the Bulgarian cuisine.
The Bulgarians have sushi.
Yeah, there's some sushi bars that have opened up. The set food in Bulgaria. The first day I got out there was raw chicken.
Right.
I was like, oh, this chicken's raw. And that is how we have it. I was like, oh, right. And it was really sort of, I mean, I'm hoping it was chicken. I didn't eat it. And then for dessert, we had milk and chives. and I was at it for 2 months. So, I lived off sushi.
Glad when the sushi came.
Yeah.
The indignant of the guy, that's how we have our chicken. We all get food poisoning every day, but that is how we have it.
Well, but I think they brought up a tolerance. They took down a load of people.
Well, you know, they're eating raw chicken.
So yes, that's and good. I was eating raw sushi. I don't even know this stuff.
That's true.
It doesn't work with everything.
It'd be quite a good way, if you eat raw chicken all the time, it'd be quite a good way of just getting rid of the old and the weak. Yeah. Wouldn't it? It's back to sort of survival of the fittest.
Yeah.
The only people with the constitution to digest raw chicken, throw it up but not die, get to live.
Maybe that could go sort of below the Santa Claus thing.
Yeah, I'd like that. Well, I'm looking for a way to kill the old people because I blame them for everything that's happened.
Yeah.
Don't you? And I'm approaching being one of the old people, but it's the real old fuckers, you know. Not all of them, but 90%. So you've got to take a few out, you know, a few collateral damage. My parents can go. They're nice people, my parents, but I'm prepared to lose
them. My dad's actually turned, so he's a pretty strong guy, so yeah, I think he'd smash eating raw chicken.
Yeah.
I think he'd look forward to it as a challenge.
Yeah.
he's just found out he's retired recently, and he phoned me the other day and he said, tell you he's a funny cunt. I said, who? And he went, Homer Simpson. He's funny cunt him, but he's good for a night out. Oh, he's a cartoon. Yeah, he hates, sort of touched it earlier, he hates Chandler from Friends. He literally, my mum, I went round to see him and I walked in and went, you all right? To my mum and she went, dad's a bit of a bit weird. I said, oh, is he all right? And she said, he's just watching a couple of episodes of Friends. And I said, oh, really? Is he all right? So I sort of put my head in. I went, you're all right? And he went, could you have him? This fucking idiot. He's always got something to say about everything, hasn't he? And I went, oh, right, oh, Chandler, yeah, he's a bit annoying. He's fucking annoying. Fucking literally doing my fucking head in. And I like the others. But him every fucking time. And it's like, I'd love to have seen the Friends where he rocks up. Go, what are you doing knocking about of him? He's doing my name.
I just love it because he's got to watch it. He likes the other five.
Yeah, he loves the other five. He literally loves spending time with the other five.
Chandler coming in.
He does that when he comes on. Oh, fucking hell. Oh, he moved away. He literally, when Joey was moving out, going, please. Fucking please.
Can you not cut him a version of Friends without Chandler in it?
It's much more fun watching 1 minute with him in.
Actually, I think there was a thing on YouTube recently about someone had done an episode where Chandler dies. You should get him to watch that. They'd edit it together.
But you do that thing that South London people by going, actually, you know what? He wasn't that bad. He's broken a chair. I leant on the chair here, I just snapped it.
Oh, is it broken? No, we were talking about that earlier.
All the broken chairs.
Yeah. Well, they're not very good, these chairs.
No. I'd see that when I go around people's houses.
Yeah.
If I go around for a dinner party, you'd always walk in and go, hello, how are you doing? I'm Catherine's husband. And they'll go, actually, if you just have this one here. It's an old one we've had in the family for a couple of years. So.
Okay, let's have a go at this one. If you had to permanently seal up one of the holes in your body, I'm not including the pores in your skin or hair follicles, so don't be a smart ass. Which hole would you permanently seal up and why?
Oh, wow. I mean, if I sort of close up my arsehole.
Yeah, there's going to be repercussions. You can't escape.
The shit still is coming.
Still coming up. You'd have to install some. You're not allowed to put another
coming
hole
out
in
my mouth? Out of my dick.
I don't think it would come out of your dick. I think that would be quite an impressive.
I mean, I'm guessing that if I'm doing that, I'm asking for some reconstruction down there.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't.
Can I
do
have a little chew?
I wouldn't do the arse. I think it's probably.
No.
I'd probably keep that one open.
Do you know what? The older I've got, the more I love a piss.
Yeah.
One of my favourite things in the world.
Yeah.
Taking a, you know, it used to be other stuff, but now.
So you'd keep your. Your reading is opening.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, that's the posh word for it, but yeah. I'll keep that open and running.
Your meatus is the actual.
Can't leave my mouth.
Yeah.
It's much like a silent movie.
Not many left, are there?
Ears and eyes.
Yeah. Ears, eyes, nose. You could do one nostril.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck it. One nostril then. Call it Westbrook.
Okay, a religious question for you now.
Good.
Why did Jesus say, why hast thou forsaken me on the cross? Had he forgotten about the plan that he and his dad had come up with to save mankind?
Um, I have one of my worst auditions.
Did you?
For a religious film.
What was it? And who were you going to be?
John the Baptist.
Wow.
So I get a call about this audition. And Kevin Reynolds, who made Prince of Thieves and Waterworld.
Okay, yeah.
It's out now. You can go watch his film. I wouldn't advise it. It's not very good. But I'm not in it. He's basically making a thing about when Christ died and the days between him coming back.
Okay.
And I can't remember what
the days between, so it's mainly him just lying around.
Jesus' mates, disciples. Okay, so
John the Baptist can't have been a very good part at this in this particular.
I mean, it was actually quite a big role. Imagine.
Well, he wasn't alive at that point.
I mean, oh my God, it was John, whatever he was. Okay. It was, I thought it was John. I mean, it's obviously not historically correct, but it was the guy who made the Lord's Prayer. That was the idea.
Okay, well, that was Jesus, I think.
I've not seen the film, but this was the part. Okay. So I rock up, and everyone else there is quite chiselled and good looking. And I'm thinking, oh, shit, I've never done any drama. So I walk into the room, and the guy's like, okay, so you're playing John the Baptist or whoever else, whoever you might need to play for the story, where it makes sense. So the bit is, you've got to read the Lord's, basically it's a scene where they're all sitting around the campfire, and your character is reading out the Lord's Prayer for the first time. So I play it a bit like, Our Father, get out there in heaven. And he went, have you forgotten the lines? I said, no, I just think that when he reads it for the first time, he's not very confident about it. He's probably been writing it, isn't he? Thinking, what people are going to make of this? You've got to be a right fucking, big dick to walk in and go, oi, have a dig at this. And it didn't strike me that John is that sort of bloke. And he starts laughing. And then I had another bit where I'm sort of like saying about, going back to Jesus, and I can't remember what it's called it's called Cassius the God or something like that. Sort of completely gnaws the audition, and then walk out, and everyone sitting there is these dramatic actors, and all they've heard is people laughing in the room. And this guy looks at me and goes, hey, is it a comedy? I went, yeah. it was the worst audition. I've had quite a few like that, but that was, Now looking at it, obviously it fell down anyway. The fact John the Baptist wasn't alive at the time. I wish I'd known that. Well, you know what? I'm glad you're doing another film. I was recently talking to Richard Herring. Why are you here? Well, that audition I did.
It could have just been his head.
Yeah.
It could have been his head flying in on a plate.
Yeah. You're in a spaceship.
Yeah. Because he had his head chopped off, didn't he? John the Baptist.
I don't know much about the Bible, I've got to say.
Was Bathsheba, is that it? Am I going the right way? I can't remember.
Anyone religious here?
No.
You were looking at him? You're embarrassed that I'd even ask.
There's a lot of people who base their look on the 12 disciples here, but they're not. I doubt they're. And you're welcome to be religious.
Look
how many beards there are in this.
It's nice, isn't it?
David threw the disciple. Which disciple would you be, David? Thaddeus, I think.
He had one, didn't he? Who I don't know if he used to make stuff up that he did. But there was one that no one knows about. He used to go off and fight zombies and stuff. I like the idea of him. He's the one that, where have you been? Fucking fight zombies and shit.
Yeah. There were a lot of zombies. I mean, Jesus is a zombie.
Yeah, he was.
Lazarus is a zombie.
Oh, that would have been a better film. Jesus is alive. What the fuck?
He wants to eat your flesh. What? Drink your blood.
What happens when the Son of Christ comes back?
Have you got any predictions? This will probably go out in 2017, but we're recording this in November. Have you got any predictions for any more celebrity deaths in 2016?
Oh, fucking hell.
Who would you like to see go apart from Donald Trump?
Well, Rob Harris.
Just like, who do you think? It's got to build up to, like, because so many have gone.
Yeah.
If 2016 has any kind of dramatic...
I'm worried about myself, for a start. Yeah, things have just started going right. God, that'd be horrible, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But this was my legacy. I died a week after that.
We'll still put it out. I promise you we'll still put it out, but I'll have a picture of me holding a picture of you looking sad. I'll go, that'll be the picture. And I go, well, let's find it. Would it be what you wanted for this podcast to go out if you are dead at the time of transmission?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah, so it's literally what he wanted.
Get it out there. Yeah.
I've, you know, my
maybe
hands,
I will
my hands are
tight. Successful. He seems all right. Oh, rest his soul.
It's, Paul McCartney's got to die, basically, hasn't he? I mean, for 2016 to end on any kind of...
I think
you can't start with all those people and then go, oh, and then...
I'd take McCartney over, like, a Springsteen or someone.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
I don't want him to die. No. I like Paul McCartney. He's been in the Dream version.
Oh, actually, I'll tell you what. If you're ever offering people, get Ringo out. I'm just saying, and that's the one where you're going to go, yeah. Show Thomas the Tank Engine for a week. I'm not saying I want Ringo Starr to die.
It's been a bit of a fallow period, hasn't it? Big celebrity deaths. But, yeah. Who? Bruce Forsyth? Yeah, Bruce.
Oh, come on.
Probably has died by the time this goes out. So I'm just going to ring up and ask if it's what he would have wanted for that heckle.
Is he doing this?
Well, you know, it's all sitting down, isn't it? So he might be all right. I would like, but you know, there's people you kind of think, I would, you know, wish I'd asked them. Like, there's loads of people, like Caroline Ahern, and Victoria Wood. I mean, fuck, I would really love her. I met Victoria Wood last year, and I was too shy to go and ask her to do this, you know.
Yes,
because I'm very shy in real life. I can only do it via Twitter. And it would have been great to talk to her.
Yeah, both of them.
Now we
have
to do it with a Ouija board. It's not really as good as it. Oh, so you think that death's the end of you? Well, I think you're sick.
There's a mirror positive. With them waving back.
Yeah, sorry, I couldn't do the
podcast. I love leaving heaven. Where are you off to? I'm doing Richard Owen's podcast with that mirror.
We'll get that for the next series. We'll kickstart it. Might be quite expensive.
It's Derek Okora standing at the stage.
You ready? Do see if anyone's around.
Cheers, Del.
Well, it's been thanks so much for coming on. I'm a massive fan of your stuff. It's fantastic. People must watch it if they haven't seen it. I'm sure they haven't, and there's loads more coming up. You're in Uncle as well. Lots of things you've been in.
There's loads of
things I haven't had a chance to talk to you about. But we'll get you back another time, and it'll all be good fun. What does that say? Unholy. Don't know what that says. So, I think we'll end it there. So thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Tom Davies.
Or
Davies if you look too tall.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks again for listening. Listen to another podcast. Tell your friends to listen to these podcasts. If you like them and you think your friends will like them, do spread the word. We need to get more listeners. It's going down a little bit, the downloads. I'd like to see it going back up again. And the more people who listen, the more podcasts we can make. It's a beautiful, reciprocal, symbiotic relationship. RichTain.com/gigs for all my gigs. And GoFasterStripe.com for all your download and book needs. Thanks for listening. Bye.